Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to continue in this 12th chapter of Matthew. And even though it speaks of the sign of the prophet Jonah, and I usually, about the time of Easter, break that down and show how that the Lord, he fulfilled the sign of the prophet Jonah completely and perfectly. But when we look at what we call Easter, Easter? No, the Jews had Passover. Christ was crucified on the preparation of Passover. He was placed in the tomb at the beginning of Passover. You know, Christ, our Passover, was what? Sacrifice for us. So what's all this Easter stuff? You know, it's off a few months yet. But Easter was a very popular pagan feast. And the Roman Catholic Church, basically what they did in terms of mission work, was they forced people into rivers, into oceans, into lakes, and so forth. And if they came out alive, they were then Christians. You know? And nothing had changed. They still, you know, there was no conversion in that, no change of mind. It wasn't faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It was just, you know, we're making Christians in the world. You know? And as a consequence, one of the most popular feasts amongst the Anglo-Saxons, when the Roman Catholics were doing work with them, was the worship of the goddess of spring, Aelstra. You know, there's probably 15, 20 different names, and that's from the word that we get Easter from. You know? So this is the worship of the goddess of spring. You know, we say, you know, everything dies. No, if it dies, it's not going to bloom in the spring. It may appear to be dead, but in the spring, it comes forth again. Okay? And at the time of that, the Jews were delivered from Egypt. Moses was told to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month and examine that lamb till the 14th day of the month, a lamb for each house. So everybody had to sacrifice a lamb. And if they couldn't afford a lamb by themselves, then they were to go with their neighbors. And so this is the way that the Jews were delivered from Egypt. And the scripture says of the Lord Jesus Christ over in the book of Corinthians, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Now, last week, I dealt with this a little bit. I was just going to jump on and probably do this later on, closer to Passover. But I think it's appropriate for us to really understand that virtually everything that the Jews did under Judaism, they corrupted it with the traditions of men. Now, the church comes along, and virtually everything under the canopy of Christianity has also been corrupted by the traditions of men. Yeah. The key to all of this is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's amazing to me, and I've talked about this a great deal over the months and years, but you know, if you look at the common fault in virtually everything that is called Christian and in all of the religions of the world, what is it? That man can be like God by his knowledge of what? Good and evil, right and wrong. You know, well, can we be accepted of God? Excuse me. Can we be accepted of God by our performance? No. The scripture says that when Adam died, we died. So Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. Anyway, Adam was not deceived. So when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, why did he eat of it? You got to remember that Adam was still in the image of God when Eve sinned against God. And in the image of God, then, with the knowledge of God, that means that Adam knew that Eve would be damned eternally unless he did something. And what he did was he also ate of the tree. Now, in type, when he ate of that tree, he was under the condemnation of, that she was under the condemnation of death. So as in Adam, the scripture says, all die. So in Christ, then what? All are made alive. So the first Adam plunged us into sin. The second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, came in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law, to do what? To redeem us, or those who were under the law. And in redeeming the Jews, he paid the price to redeem us as well. We were never under the law. But man has a tendency to measure himself by law. And when he measures himself by law, all he can do is condemn himself. But he doesn't want to do that. So he makes up little rules and regulations like the Jews did, so that he gave himself the sense of being righteous. And that's really what most of what so-called Christianity in the day in which we live is all about. It's all about what? Your life. Is it really? No, you're dead. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're dead. But you're alive. And why are you counted dead by God? Because being dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. So that when Christ will appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Now, traditionally, we talked about it back a few months. I think it was Julius the First, a pope in the 3rd century, who designated that the 25th of December was the day upon which our Lord Jesus Christ was born. Yeah. Does it fit the Word of God? Well, as we read the account in Matthew, Matthew gives us no clues, because Christ, when the Magi arrived, Christ was not at the manger. He was in a house, and he was probably close to maybe 1 or 2 years old. Remember that when they came to Herod, he, bring me word again that I may worship him. And he inquired diligently of them when they saw the star. Well, they saw the star in the east. No, the star wasn't in the east. They were in the east. And then they followed that star. And if you consider the distance from, the general area of Babylon along the Euphrates River, to travel that distance up over the Fertile Crescent, down through Syria, and into Israel, and then they had to inquire where, they thought, well, the capital of Israel is Jerusalem, so that's where the king is, that's where this king that's been born will be. So what do? We have a nativity scene with respect to Christmas. And that nativity scene, we've got the shepherds there, we've got Mary and Joseph there, we've got the babe in the manger. But in Matthew's gospel, They weren't at a manger. They were in the house. So that means that the press, you know, they had to go to Jerusalem to be enrolled for a taxation. And all the pressure to force them to do that, you know, didn't make any difference. Mary was close to the time of her delivery, but she traveled the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the city of her birth, the city of Joseph's birth, and to be registered for a taxation. You know, it was a census thing to get them enrolled so that they could be taxed. You know. And when they arrived, because people had to go to the cities of their birth, there wasn't any room for them, it says, in the end. No, we didn't have Motel 6. We didn't get a little higher on the grade, some of the fancy hotels. I can remember, used to buy gas for, I'd fill the car up, $17.9 was the price of gasoline when I graduated high school in 1951, you know. And so, basically a 10-gallon tank, you know, a couple of bucks, you can fill it up, you know. And, you know, we have this terrible inflation, and it's all part of man's pipe dreams. You know, we're going to make America into a socialistic country so that everybody has the same. Now, if you think about some of the countries around the world that were formerly, we haven't had another country with a government exactly like ours, but capitalism was practiced and people had money. But every country that's gone socialist, like
Venezuela
used to be one of the, I think, three richest countries in the world.
Yeah.
And now it's one of the poorest countries in the world. And this is what our politicians look for. Why? Well, it certainly is more fair if we all have the same thing. Is that why Biden keeps... his son keeps making deals with foreign powers and getting all kinds of money and this and that. And it's crazy what happened to the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation, well, Hillary was Attorney General.
Secretary of State.
Yeah, she was Attorney General. Pardon me?
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State, yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, well, the brain goes there. You know, what can you expect?
It doesn't matter. She wasn't doing the job anyway.
Anyway, the Clinton Foundation has basically gone broke since she ceased being Secretary of State. So why? Because she can't make deals with foreign powers, so they quit giving her money. And I suppose they saved enough of it so that they could still live pretty high on the hog. But the foundation itself is not getting any money. You know, politics makes strange bedfellows. And I like Brother Stewart's definition of politics. Politics. Poly means many. Ticks are bloodsuckers. You figure it out. pretty good definition. But well, the comparison I want to make is that what happened to Israel, and Israel was the custodian of the truth. All of the Old Testament scriptures were written by Jews under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God was able to anoint their minds and call to their remembrance and to record events that took place all the way back to the garden. But Israel wasn't a nation until she came out of Egypt after, you know, 400 years after God made a promise to Abraham. Yeah. So when we look at that, what happened? They came out of Egypt. They were given the opportunity to be under the law. We read about it in the 20th chapter and also in the 19th chapter of Exodus. And they said, all of the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now that's basically the lie of the devil. Because the lie of the devil, we don't know what that tree of the knowledge of good and evil looked like. But when they ate of it, it gave them a knowledge of good and evil, but not in a good ethical sense. You know. But everything that man thinks is good came from that tree. And everything that man thinks is evil came from that same tree. It's really man's moral conscience. You know. But doesn't man even live close to what he thinks is right? No, he doesn't. No. So even by his own standards, man is condemned by his moral standards. But God put it in the form of the law. And so what did the law do to the nation of Israel? It condemned them. Well, along with the giving of the law, if you read the book of Exodus, there's from the 20th chapter where we read about the Ten Commandments on to the end of the book, there's five times as much information about the other thing that Moses got on the mount besides the law. Now, you ask anyway, what did Moses get on the mount? The tablets of stone, the law. You ask, what else did he get? I haven't got any idea. But if you read the book of Exodus, there's five times as much information about the other thing that he got. What was it? Well, it was a pattern for the tabernacle and the sacrificial system. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So the sacrificial system pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the law showed God's standard that you all need a sacrifice for sin because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So therefore, by the deeds of the law, what?
No flesh
can be justified in God's sight. Now, there's something terribly wrong then after, 2,000 of years of history following the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, when about 99.44% of what's preached under the canopy of Christianity is all about your life. That by your life, people will see your good works and they'll want to be like you. But when they look at you, they see you as a hypocrite because they see you doing the same things that they do. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now we see what Jesus was doing in Matthew. When he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, in Matthew chapter 5, was he actually telling us that we could be perfect? No, not by our conduct, but by God's grace through faith, yes. Because Christ, as the Lamb of God, had to live his life as a Jew, fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, fulfill all righteousness, and then willingly give himself as a ransom for sin. And he did. So what's the scripture say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But what that comes out to be in most of the churches under the canopy of Christianity, well, they get the ritual of baptism in there somewhere, and the Roman Church baptized by immersion until the 12th century. And then a pope or a priest, I think it was just a priest, but one of the priests was baptizing an infant and drowned the infant because they were baptizing by immersion, because the Greek word bapto means to whelm fully with a fluid. Now, or cover it up, bury it. You know, and they didn't apparently cover the baby's mouth and nose, so to prevent the baby from inhaling the water, and the baby drowned. So then the Roman Church changed to sprinkling. Yeah. And then we had the Protestant Reformation movement, and most of the churches that came out of the Protestant Reformation movement, because they don't understand what Paul's talking about when he's talking about baptism in the 6th and 7th chapters of Romans. They think you're saved by baptism. So let's do it right away. Let's baptize infants. You know? And then when they reach puberty, we'll put them under law. And then if they sin, then they'll have to confess their sins, and the priest will give them something to do to absolve their sins. That whole scheme came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, along with every other religious system in the world. You know, because the scripture says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. You know, so, well, we can't blame babies. So we'll cover original sin by baptizing them. But then when they get to be teenagers, you know, those hormones are going to start working, and we're going to have to do something about that. And that's the way the world thinks, because the world doesn't pay any attention. Well, it really can't, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So, everything, the birth of Christ, is corrupted by tradition. We know that Christ was not born in December, like the Pope said, but that he was born in the springtime. How do we know that he was born in the springtime? Because the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. The only time shepherds do that is in the spring at lambing. Why? Because if they had all those pregnant ewes in the fold, and then they give birth and drop their lamb, and before it could get to its feet, it'd be trampled by, because they're so close together in the fold, they'd be trampled to death before they could get to their feet. So that's why shepherds watch their flock by night, so that they can be there when the lamb gives birth, or when the ewe gives birth. Okay, and you know, sometimes there are complications, and they have to swing the lamb through the air a little bit to get it to breathe, you know, and they can dry it off because it's wet. You know, sometimes springs can be a little cool, but it wasn't the winter. And so what we have by tradition under the canopy of Christianity, we say that Jesus taught us how to live. No, that isn't what Jesus taught at all. Every time he spoke to the Jews, he condemned them. We go to the end of the book of Matthew and read his condemnation of the Jews. He says, well, you reject the commandments of God that you might keep your own traditions. And by their traditions, they gave themselves the sense of fulfilling the law. Well, that's not the purpose of the law. The law's purpose was a schoolmaster, an attendant slave. And that attendant slave was responsible for educating the children, and if we're properly educated, we recognize there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know, think about that. So what is it that we need? We need a Savior. And Jesus stands for every lamb, every goat, every heifer, every animal sacrifice that was ever made, that was properly made, represented the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. Yeah. So when the Jews failed before the law, what was their responsibility? To bring the appropriate sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle and there put their hands on the head of that sacrifice and confess their sins on the head of that sacrifice. And then the priest would slit its throat, shed its blood, and if it was a burnt offering, its carcass would be burned upon the altar. Yeah. And there were different types of sacrifices for different situations. But every sacrifice pointed to Jesus Christ, because without the shedding of blood is what?
No remission.
So now let's look at what's happened under Christianity. We've got Christmas in the wintertime when Christ was born in the spring. Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then we come to Easter. And this portion of Scripture is totally ignored in the church's observance of Easter, because it says, let's pick up at verse 38. Then certain of the scribes were in the 12th chapter of Matthew. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Do a miracle. You know, make us be in awe of you so that we can believe on you. And he says, but he answered and said unto them. Now think about all of these people on television that are, if you watch television like I do, some do, I can sleep all day long, no problem. Midnight comes because I've been sleeping all day long. Anyway, but you turn on late night television. And you get, we'll send you some holy water, and it's going to give you a miracle in your life. And all of the miracles naturally are financial, because money is they don't quote money's at the root of all the evils. Yeah. You got to have money so that you can be a big shot. That's why it's the root of all the evils. All the big shots really can portray that very well. Why? Because they've got the money to do anything that pleases them. And I don't know how many times Bill Clinton's been to that island over there. Where any kind of sex they want, they can have. With prepubescent children. And does anybody get alarmed at that? No, because they're rich. They are somebody. It's crazy, but that's the way the world thinks. When you're rich, what's the song say? They think you really know. So, he says, but he answered and said unto them, verse 39, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but to the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, what was the sign of the prophet Jonah? For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. From Friday afternoon, just before, not too long before sunset, but Christ died. He was on the hour cross for 6 hours. He died at 3. And by the time they went out and examined the bodies and gained the bodies, they gained the bodies with enough time to get him into the tomb just before sunset, which was the beginning of the next day. Okay. So if he was crucified on Friday, Good Friday, crucified on Friday. So we got just a little bit of time on Friday, and I've forgotten the author's name now. He was Southern Baptist. But he said, any part of the day's day. So just the fact that he was, just maybe 15 minutes this side of sunset, in the tomb, that's all of Friday. Yeah. But then, what about Friday night? Friday night is already passed. We're only getting Friday evening, which is at sunset, it's Saturday. Yeah. Or not. He was crucified, they say, on Friday, placed in the tomb. I've got it mixed. Yeah, when I start talking like that, I have to get it in front of me so I can see it. But Christ was crucified on Friday, placed at the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Saturday. Was in the tomb Saturday night, Saturday day.
Friday night.
And Saturday night, but we don't get to Sunday. Why? Because when the women came, the tomb was yet dark. It was still dark. It hadn't risen for the first day of the week. So what actually happened? Well, Jesus, 6 days before Passover, according to the 12th chapter of John, and John lays it out, and all of the Bibles that I've seen that are reference Bibles never reference the 12th chapter of John with the time of Christ's crucifixion. Let's go back there and read it again. Now, we've been given the sign that Jesus was to be in the tomb for 72 hours, 3 days, and 3 nights, or actually the way it worked out, 3 nights and 3 days, because the Jewish night precedes its day, okay? So in the 12th chapter of John, and by comparing this with the 10th chapter of Luke, or not Luke, but Mark, we find that Jesus has come from Ephraim to Jericho, and from Jericho to Bethany. And let's read it here in John chapter 12. Okay, let's go back into the 11th chapter for just a little bit. And we see, okay, I want to pick up at it. So Jesus was in a place called Ephraim in verse 54. And there continued with the disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. What day of the month is the Passover? On the 15th day of the month. Lambs were to be put to death on the 14th day of the month. That's why I was getting mixed up, trying to keep all of that straight in my mind. Okay. And they went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Now we read in John's Gospel, Passover's on the 15th day of the month, 6 days before Passover be the 9th day of the month, okay? Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now let's go back to Mark chapter, I think it's, it could be 10 or 11. I think it's 11. Okay. In Mark chapter 10. Okay. Now, and it came to, and they came to Jericho. Well, we have to tie this in with what John says. So they came from Ephraim to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, his disciples and a great number of people blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, and they commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now notice the difference. The blind man saith unto him, Lord. He's been calling him by, thou son of David, thou son of David, thou son of David. But for salvation, he has to be Lord. Okay? And Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith, or the faith in thee, the body of revealed truth in thee, hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And then they're still traveling because they came from the area of Ephraim to Jericho, and now they're traveling up to Bethany. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem in the 11th chapter, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Now, we don't read about the being anointed for burial yet, you know. This is why it takes a lot of work sometimes to get one portion of Scripture to fit together with the other portion of Scripture, and they have to fit perfectly. But we know he came from Ephraim to Jericho. We know he came, and we see that here. But then we jump immediately to his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Yeah. The next day. So he was at Bethany. They had the meal. And then in the morning, he sent his disciples out and find a foal, the colt of an ass. Or a colt, the foal of an ass, I should say. And, bring him. I have need of him. Well, is an ass is an unclean animal, and in order to keep it, you have to make a sacrifice for it. And an ass is what? Stubborn and self-willed. And as we saw last week, where was the ass? He was bound outside the door. When the Lord finds us, where are we? Jesus said, I am the way, or I am the door. So we are bound in trespasses and sin outside the door where what? Two ways meet. We've got the way of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then we have a way which seemeth right unto a man. What is it that seems right to man? Nobody ever asked the question, what did Eve get from that tree? A knowledge of what? Good and evil. What is that? That's morality. What is every religious system in the world and most of what's called the truth, you know, whether it was under the Jews, under the law, which they couldn't keep, or whether it's the church, what did they, has the church got all mixed up in? Your life. Yeah. But what is your situation when you come to Christ? You're dead in trespasses and sin. Where? Outside the door. Who's the door? Jesus said, I am the door, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's a type of salvation being portrayed here. And Jesus made this entry into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Because if you count back 6 days before Passover, he came to Bethany on Friday, but at sunset it was Saturday. But we're reading it in John's Gospel, so we don't see the change in time. because John kept time the same way that we keep time from midnight to midnight. You know, he wrote later. See? So at sunset, what was it? It's not the ninth anymore. Now it's the tenth. When do you accept? When do you choose the lamb for the Passover? You know, every house is to take a lamb on the 10th day of the month. They're to keep it till the 14th day of the month. And the whole assembly of Israel is to put that lamb to death in the evening. So Jesus was taken, tried, and crucified on the 14th day of the month. And what happened when did the 14th end? At sunset. Yeah. It's the difference between Jewish time and Roman time that gets people all confused. They read it in that or in John's gospel, and they can't put that together because they're not thinking about that John wrote later and used Roman time. Okay. So 6 days before Passover, it was the ninth. They're traveling during the day. It's the ninth. But as soon as it gets sunset, it's the tenth. But for us, we have to go all the way to midnight to get to the 10th. Okay? All right. So, we showed this type. Now, if he came to Jerusalem on the ninth day of the month, then he's there on the 10th day, he's selected. And then the next day, notice, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. So on the 10th day of the month, he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. That would be on a Thursday, not on a Sunday. Okay? If Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Sunday, then the previous day was Saturday. And how far did he travel on Saturday? Well, from somewhere near Ephraim to Jericho, and from Jericho to Bethany, probably close to 30 miles, you know. And then the next day, he made his triumphal entry. So if he did that on, if the next day is Palm Sunday, then Christ would have traveled all that distance on Saturday, which was the Sabbath day, and he couldn't be our Savior. Okay. You see how tradition and failing to study to show yourself approved unto God, we have the whole world celebrating, the triumphal entry of Jesus on Sunday, but he traveled all that distance the previous day. Just the distance from Bethany, which he did on the Sabbath, the distance from Bethany to Jerusalem is a Sabbath day's journey. Just that little, might be a mile long. I don't remember the exact distance. It's not very far, okay? A Sabbath day's journey. But he traveled, Jericho is just northeast of Jerusalem. And then Ephraim is more north of Jerusalem, so he traveled on a south easterly direction to get to Jericho, and then he traveled on a westerly direction to get to Bethany. And he did that when? Well, 6 days before Passover. But we got to look at the difference between John, who used Roman time, and all the other apostles who use Jewish time. Okay. So what happens? We have, by our traditions, we make Christ a Sabbath breaker. And by our traditions, we have Christ being born in the middle of winter, but Christ is what? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Well, it was an appropriate sacrifice, a lamb of the first year. So it would mean, in typology, he had to be put to death the same month he was not the actual same month, but within the framework of passage of time. He was born at the time of lambing, and he was crucified at the time of lambing in the spring. You know, and tradition does what? It corrupts that. And if Jesus didn't fulfill it according to what God wrote in both the Old and the New Testament, he can't be our Savior. And if he had sin in his life, because he would obviously be a Sabbath breaker if he made his triumphal entry on the Sunday. Well, they say, well, he just traveled the Sabbath day's journey. No, he traveled from Ephraim to Jericho and from Jericho to Bethany. And then when they got there, then John shows in Roman time, so we don't see a change of time, but we recognize with the Jews there's a change of time. So they had the meal on the Sabbath. You know? And then the next day, according to John, because John's using Roman time, but it's the same day. We have the night and then the day, and we have a triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of an ass, which was a lawful distance for him to travel. Yeah. And if you notice in the scripture, he didn't do anything on that day but walk through the temple, look around, and return to Bethany. As far as in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us, born at the time of the Passover lamb, and sacrificed at the time of the Passover lamb. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us, and by studying to show ourselves approved unto God, we find out that the scriptures are fulfilled perfectly and completely, and there's no violation of any scriptural principle, because Christ fulfilled the law in our behalf, and then he offered himself as a ransom for sin in our behalf. And if we put our trust in him, believing that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, we have eternal life, and we shall never perish. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.